Legends, welcome to the Gym Boss Podcast. Today, again, another special guest. This guy, you've probably seen him or heard him, seen him around if you've been in the fitness space. James Cant, welcome, my man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, dude.
And just before we hit record here, we're talking about how am I going to do the intro. I've got two lines here. Performance coach through the business that you have called JCF Coaching. And the major thing to that is, you said it perfectly, was I just love making people crush life.
Dude, it's the best thing because you see so many people in general. Like, fuck, I live like this. Like, if we flash back to me, go back like a few years ago, my story. Like, I was running my business. I was doing well. I was like, it's pretty funny. Like, picture this. I was like 20, 21 years of age and I was making 500K a year. So I'm like, I got so much money right now. Like, I was a broke uni student. I was working for 17 bucks an hour. I was like cleaning toilets, changing light fittings, like moving stuff around. I actually had a lot of fun in that job. I was just working maintenance in the college that I was at, but I went from making like 17 bucks an hour. And then all of a sudden I was making 5K a week. And then after that, I was making 10K a week. And I was like, I had enough money to buy sushi, bro. And sashimi. Like, I was
you are the second person that I've interviewed that has said that's how they know they've made it, is by being able to go to Sushi Train and not check out what color the plates are.
100%. And buying guac. And like, I love Guzman, like Guzman and Gomez. Like, I eat all the time. $2 guac. It's like, I buy that. Now they have the nacho fries, which is even better. I don't have to pay for guac. And I'm a tight ass, so I don't like spending money. But that was when I made it. It's like, I could go out and I could take my girlfriend at the time. We could go eat sashimi. Because, dude, that's like 40 bucks. To go out and do for a uni student, that's like 2 hours, probably more close to 3 hours after tax of work that I'd have to do to afford one meal. But then I was like, fuck it, we'll get sushi once a week. It's like balling, why not?
So good.
But no, I it was good.
So can we go back though? Because people are probably like, if they don't know, what is JCF coaching? It's not business coaching, is it?
Totally, yeah, dude. Great question. So we do a lot. We do something quite different. So we started off in bodybuilding. So I'm a pro bodybuilder by trade. That's where I started. We started off in fitness. That wasn't overly fulfilling for me. And I started looking at guys and I was like, okay, so some of the guys will come, will coach and they'll lose like 10, 20, 30 kilos, get shredded as fuck, stay that way. Other people won't. Other people will have a really, really difficult time of it. And it just started, I started digging deeper. I was like, okay, well, why is it that some people succeed and others don't? And then I was looking at their mindset. So mentality was the same. But then there was like a whole heap of these other things which were going on, like hormonally and physically. And I started going down this rabbit hole of trying to figure out, you know, what was the solution to this? Why was it some people won and some people lost when it came to weight loss, feeling good, looking good, confidence, all that sort of stuff. And I got down to, I was looking, okay, well, first things, hormones, they're pretty important. And then I was like, okay, well, why do people have different hormones? Went down another level. I was like, okay, so different immune systems, all right, different digestive systems. I'd ruled out genetics. By the way, I totally feel that genetics are bullshit. Genetics, people blaming their genetics for an inability to focus, to be successful, to lose weight, anything. Genetics is a fucking lie, like straight up. Like if you are still alive at this point, you've had thousands of years of genetics to perfect you. Like you inherently are fucking awesome. It's just the way you're thinking, which is off. And so then we go down like even further and it pretty much came down to looking at the nervous system and the way we respond to stresses and whatnot. And then it expanded out even beyond that because I was like, okay, cool. I've got a heap of guys who are like crushing it in business now that I'm coaching, because a lot of dudes in business who are like really, really high level. Like I'm talking guys who own big mining contracting companies. I got guys who are doing like 50 million plus a year in turnover. Big CEOs, I got investment bankers, those sorts of dudes. I was like coaching them and I was looking at them and their experiences and what makes them tick. And so this whole, I went from fitness and making people like look good and I kept following it down and figuring out how to make them look better. But at the same time, I found out that the easiest way to make someone look better was to make them feel better, like to make them perform better. Because if you perform better in terms of energy, in terms of how you feel, your mood, all that sort of stuff, you'll lose weight. Like this, just as a byproduct, you'll lose weight. Like it's easy. But if you're feeling like shit, if you hate your job, if you wake up feeling crap, if you're like that person who you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, fuck, I want to go back to bed. I'm so over this day already. You wake up, you stub your toe, you go and try and have a piss and you piss all over the toilet seat. And it's like, if you're that type of person, it's like, you're not going to have a good time with weight loss, with business, with relationships, with anything. Everything's going to be an uphill struggle. And so that's when we shifted into the performance coaching side, where it's not just my goal to help guys lose weight. In fact, I couldn't really give a shit whether they do or don't, because I know that it'll happen anyway when they feel good. My goal is to make them fucking crush life so that they can feel amazing. They can be, we predominantly work with men so that we can make men be better husbands and treat their wives really well. Because when a man supports a woman, women just flourish, because women are
100%, 100%.
And then after that, like, make them better fathers, because the reason why so many of us are fucked up, like, put my hand up here, is because we didn't have great relationships with our fathers at times through our life. And we've got to mend that stuff. So make men better fathers. And then after that, make them better business owners, because business owners and small business in particular, small, medium, even large business, that we really revolutionize, or we impact the way that people think and feel and be, because we're generally the people who our employees look up to us. We're the leaders here. And if you're a tyrant, you're going to create a company of people who are really traumatized. Or if you're an awesome leader, you're going to empower people to do some really cool shit. And so I wanted to go down that pathway, because that it's just so much cooler than making people lose 10 kilos. Like, so much
more fun. But that's when you were 21, what were you doing when you said, cool, now making $5,000, 10 grand a week? Like, what were you doing first? That was like focusing on bodybuilding, right? Fitness,
that bodybuilding, sort of fitness, that sort of thing. So I was still bodybuilding at that time. So I was still actively competing. So back then I was like top 10 in the world in bodybuilding, like competing and doing all that, which is pretty cool. It was fun. And because of that, I got a lot of clients who came to work with me for fat loss. So I was selling $44 a week programs, right? Back then, $44 a week fitness programs. I didn't do sales calls. I didn't do anything like that. It was all sell by chat. I was using ManyChat before it was cool. We were doing all these things. I was getting into flows and growth tools and that. And bro, I remember when I first started running ads, I put in $2 one week and then pulled out $160. And I was like, fuck, this is awesome. And back in the golden days of Facebook. But yeah, I just really used Facebook just to blow the fuck out of my business to a point where I had more clients than I even knew what to do with.
Yeah. And so that's what the business is now. It's all online.
Totally online. Well, we are mostly online, but we run these things called Man Weekends, where we get a bunch of awesome guys together. Like, we've got guys who stack shelves at Woolies and they're fucking legends. And then we've got guys who run massive, you know, companies that are doing tens of millions of dollars, close to hundreds of millions of dollars. And we get this whole spectrum of dudes in one area. And we put them through hell. Like, we make them do really difficult things, like really challenging things. And my goal is to, like, for example, we'll get them in 4-degree water. So sit them in an ice bath. Ooh. And it's like, you got to sit in there for at least 8 minutes. Okay. And I don't know if you've ever sat in an ice bath before.
Not for eight minutes.
They say that's that you shouldn't go longer than 10, right? Because it's a risk to your health. That's bullshit. But anyway, like, you get the picture. It's pretty hard to go for 10 minutes. And so we sit them in there for 8. And then not only do we sit them in there for 8.
I like the way how you're smiling when you say it.
It's hilarious, man. It's fucking funny, because then we make them, we're like, okay, so you're not allowed to shiver, right? You can't shiver. You can't make it look like you're in pain. You've got to be able to relax. But the cool thing is that, and I found this out through bodybuilding, right? So in bodybuilding, like, I'm not the biggest, I'm not the strongest, I'm not the smartest. I'm not, like, in terms, like, in the scheme of the people who I was competing against, like the best of the world, I'm not numero uno when it comes to the genetic pool. I'm pretty good, but I'm not number one by any means. And a lot of these guys were better than me. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, if I can't have that, I'm going to just have to endure more pain. I wouldn't take steroids at that time. So I was competing against guys who were taking steroids. And I was like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to outwork all of you, like everyone. And I'm just going to suffer more. So there's days where, you know, I would feel like passing out routinely, like just throughout the day, because I'd eaten fuck all for weeks. I was training 6 hours a day and I just feel like death. But then I'd pick up. I remember there was this one time I was doing cardio in Newcastle Beach. That's where I'm from, originally Newcastle. And I was walking along there and I remember blacking out as I was walking. And the only thing that I had left in my head was saying left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And that was just right in the lead up to the comp. And so, like, with that, sort of mentality and all the pain and the suffering that I was going through, it taught me so much, because all of that pain and suffering at the end of that came out all this awesome stuff. Like, the suffering was the key to growth. And so what I've tried to create in the Man Weekend is trying to create acute suffering coupled with education and learning to develop massive growth. And out of that, the result of running these Man Weekends, what we get is we get guys who are like, go and they'll quit their job. Like, they'll tell their boss to go fuck themselves because their boss is a prick, like many bosses these days. Tell them to go fuck themselves, go start up the business. We've got guys who are making like tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands a year more than what they were before as a result of this. Because instead of being trapped and feeling trapped, like they can't do things, like they're limited or not backing themselves, we put them through fucking hell, a short period of hell. And then after that, they're like, hey, hell's not that bad. I got this. And then move forwards and continue to strive and be better and be better and be better. And we've got loads of dudes who are just ascending in their careers, massively taking leaps and bounds because they're comfortable in discomfort and because they're just a much higher level guy as a result of doing it. It's fucking wicked, dude.
Man, that's awesome. I love that. I made a note there. Suffering is the key to growth. It's true, man. It is true. Every single shitty time that I've personally been through, let's just talk about business, for example, has always been, when you look back on it a year later, you're like, ooh, that actually made me better. But at the time, you might not realize it. And it's only with like wisdom over the years of understanding, like, oh, cool, I'll lean into this now instead of hide from it, because you know that's the thing that's going to accelerate you to that next level, isn't it?
110%, man. I mean, we can look at the opposite of that, right? Like, I went to a rich school, like came from a wealthy family, and parents did super well in their careers. And I was around a lot of guys who were trust fund babies or didn't have to work or weren't pushed to work or encouraged to work. They didn't have any stress. They didn't have any trauma. And it was really fucking interesting because not only did these guys not progress in terms of being humans, like they didn't go out and hustle for skills and work their asses off and do really cool things, but they would actually like actively seek out ways to create pain and trauma and damage in their life where there wasn't one, right? Which was really, really weird, wow. But not in a way which was actually conducive to growth. Like, it wasn't a way. It was like drugs, alcohol,
gotcha.
You know, going and doing that whole scene and just pretty much spinning their wheels and finding ways to create fuck ups in their life, in a life which was literally made to be perfect by really well-intentioned parents who worked their asses off to give their kids everything. But ironically, giving them everything was the worst thing for them.
Mm. And you know what? I've actually, that's been come up a couple of times through things I've been reading or whatever recently. And it's actually kind of, obviously being a dad now myself, you always think like, cool, I want to do everything, give them everything. But then you're like, no, I think giving them everything isn't necessarily like giving them all the money and not giving them like this smooth life. Like, giving them everything is like giving them the interpersonal stuff, the internal shit. That's the most important stuff, I think, rather than giving them material stuff, because it can, in a lot of cases, mess them up long term.
100%, man. I mean, but even if we look at this and we take a step back, like, you're a cool dude, like, you turned out okay. It's like, what if you're giving your kids more than what you had? That doesn't mean that they're going to go and become more than you, like giving them those extra things and giving them the extra money. It's like, if you gave them a very similar upbringing to you, warts and all, it can create a character like you. You know, And so that's where we try and we save them from pain, or we try and give them money. Actually, there's a great quote. I think it was Bruce Lee who said this. I think, I could be wrong, but he said, instead of trying to give them everything that you have, teach them everything that you know. It's a totally different perspective, and it's way, way more powerful, way more important, because that money will dry up. I mean, if you look at high net wealth families, generally it takes three generations for them to squander their wealth. The first person creates it, makes a massive amount of wealth, and the next two generations end up pissing most of it away, and then they end up losing the work ethic, the drive, the creative, the smarts, all that sort of stuff in order to maintain that level of wealth. It's like, but if you teach them how to actually manage that, you teach them how to create more, and you have it in a more instead of a self-serving manner, you create it in a more humanitarian manner, you'll actually be able to maintain that wealth and create way, way more.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, I can't remember who it was. I saw somebody that were their parents were super wealthy, and you would have expected them. Who was it? can't even remember now, but they, you would have expected them to have like a real easy life, but they're like, no, my parents didn't give me shit. They gave me nothing. And these people were multi-millionaires. And this person ended up being quite wealthy in their own right, but because they built the character traits and all the skills and stuff that they wouldn't have necessarily built if they had it all just given it to them. And that's the thing that you, I think, is the most valuable thing you can give somebody is skills, traits, you know, abilities, belief in themselves. Because, you know, you can just go the complete opposite way.
Totally. I mean, let's be honest. Most people around our age and a bit younger are pussies, right? If we be perfectly yes. honest, okay? Not backwards in saying that, but they're fucking soft. Look at the shit we whinge about these days on social media. Like, seriously, look at it. Does that, like, the complaints that they're having, right, does that really sound like they're having a tough life? It's like they're not. And that's what happens. If we don't have actual struggles and we don't have things which are actually difficult to overcome, then we make things. I mean, have you ever played a game like on sandbox mode before?
What's that?
Like, you play like a game and you put it on like the easiest of easy modes.
Oh, gotcha.
You can't die. You can't fail. Nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
You're bored after it like half an hour. That's what a lot of people have in their life. Like their life is on sandbox mode and there's no difficulty to it whatsoever. And as soon as we get rid of that and we start putting in real challenges, like the best thing my parents ever did, like I didn't need to be poor when I was going through uni street, when I was a uni student, I was going through uni. The best thing they ever did, and I'm so grateful, is they didn't give me a whole lot. I didn't die. I wasn't starving. No one in Australia starves, but I certainly wasn't loaded. I really appreciated the fuck out of that sashimi when I bought it, right? When I did have enough money for it, but that's the best thing ever. And the ability and the privilege of being poor was fucking awesome for me. Like the single best thing, because it taught me work ethic. It taught me to appreciate money and to actually value the things that I have and value the things that I create, because there is another world who doesn't get to enjoy the same amount of luxury that I have in my life right now. And I know that because I've been there and I've grown up with it.
Mm. It's, man, I'm trying to write down all the little nuggets. I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to this, but there's been some good ones already, man. The sandbox mode is a good analogy. I like that. That's actually something I'm going to steal that. You can steal my email from before and I'll steal that. So with this stuff that the guys come to you, these guys are coming, like from the guy that works at Coles all the way up to the, you know, the big CEOs. Is there common threads between them all, or like they're like they've all got this sort of problem and these are all relatively the same? They might present themselves in different ways, but is there stuff that you like find like, okay, everyone deals with this? Step one, step two is this, and then step three is this.
Yeah, dude, it's super interesting because we're all very similar. We might like to think because we make good money that we're somehow better. It's like, we're not. It's like, we're super not. We've just been exposed to better people, or we've been exposed to people, not better people, people who are more skilled in certain areas than others, yeah. Right? And we have certain opportunities that other people don't. And they're just pushed around us. And that's how life goes, right? It's not always fair. But with this, it's really, really interesting because we all have the same things. The reasons why we created the Man Weekend was to allow guys to be in like a growth incubator where you're in this really acute temperature turned right up small area where you're forced to fucking grow. Like we're creating diamonds in 2 days. And that was the whole point of it. And in terms of the guys who that attracts, I literally... any dude who wants to be better, any man who wants to be a better man, who wants to perform at a higher level, who wants to be a better father, who wants to be a better husband and partner, who just wants to be a better human being and leave a legacy, not in terms of legacies and I'll be remembered, but in terms of impacting other people in a positive way around us. And that turns out to be pretty much fucking every bloke alive, right? And when we have these commonalities, all the superficial bullshit goes away. Because when you're freezing in an ice bath for 8 minutes and you're shivering away like a bitch, if you're worth $100 million, right? You're worth $100 million. If you're sitting in there complaining and then there's a dude stacking shelves at Woolies who's not, it's like, it's a level playing field now, man. Like, you got to step the fuck up. Like, you can't hide from that. And so everything about us and our character is put on display. And it's really interesting because we haven't had one dude who hasn't crushed it out of this. But in terms of the guys who get the most out of it are the ones who are just like fully there and like open themselves up totally and just dive in balls deep. And they have like a truly life-changing experience, which is really, really sweet, because the dudes who can open up most and just like just surrender to it, surrender to the pain, surrender to the suffering, go deep, go hard, they're the ones who always take out the most from it every single time and always experience the most success in the days, weeks, months, and years afterwards.
Mate, that's epic. I do love that. It's like the forced situation, the pressure, creating diamonds. What do you say? Create diamonds in 2 days?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true, man. Again, this is like Instagram quotes just dropping left, right, and center here, man. Not to diminish what you're saying by any means. Like, it's amazing, but you've obviously put a lot of thought into this. You've been doing this a long time, that you can deliver it in such a short little succinct way that it's really easy for everybody to comprehend. But give us some business stuff. What's some stuff, because this is primarily for people in the fitness game. What's some business stuff that you've learned along the way that you could share with some people? I know that's a really broad.
Yeah, no, I got shitloads for that, though, dude. Don't you worry. Like, first of all, in terms of context, where we're at, right? So we're well over seven figures, and so we're heading more towards eight figures plus, so over $10 million. That's what we want to be hitting. So the business side of it is really, really cool. And the thing that I fucking love about JSF is that I get to actually. I'm not really a good numbers guy. I haven't always been a great marketer. I haven't always been a great salesman. I'm just a good coach. Like, I'm really fucking good at what I do. And so I get to coach at a really high level and coach some amazing human beings. But at the same time, there's this whole business element, which I'm learning and going through at the moment. And the biggest things that I learned throughout this is as follows. Like, number one, in marketing, just be authentic. Everyone's like, I see all these ads and they're like, they're following the same fucking Russell Brunson script that's been around for the last 10 years. And they're like, hey guys, blah, blah, blah. And they go through the whole thing. They go through the fucking story. They go through all this sort of crap. And it's like the same script over and over. Like, the perfect webinar. It's the same fucking webinar used over and over and over again. And you know what the interesting thing is that I found is that nobody gives a fuck about the formula. The reason why Russell Brunson's successful, by the way, if you don't know who Russell Brunson is, he runs ClickFunnels. It's one of the most successful, what would you call it? It's not like a CRM, it's like a landing funnel page builder. Software, funnel builder. Yeah. It's one of the most successful ones, and probably actually the most successful one in the world. He's absolutely smashed it. They did like $100 million in revenue this year. He's an animal.
Yeah, crushing.
Fucking, and really cool guy. The reason why he's successful is because he's super authentic. Like, he's just him. He's totally him. And he's absolutely brilliant at that. And what I see a lot of people, and even I got sucked into this trap at the start, is trying to be somebody that I'm not. I remember being sat down and told to stick to a webinar structure and sitting with a little microphone. I had the Yeti back in the day and going through and sitting into it and talking and reading off a fucking script. And I sounded like a robot and zero sales came through. The thing that people buy other people. We buy stories. We buy connection. We buy inspiration. If you're sitting there and you're reading off the same fucking webinar script, or you're jumping out on their social media, doing bullshit ads and trying to be just totally inauthentic to grab attention and stop the scroll, you're going to lose, because people will stop the scroll. They'll look at it and they say, this guy's a fuckwit, right? And then move on, because transparency is king. If we, and by the way, I hope I'm allowed to swear this, because I dropped a lot of
swear away, mate.
My apologies. Yeah. Sorry, I had a terrible upbringing.
stop it.
In terms of the biggest key is authenticity. Just be you. Like, swear, speak the way that you speak. I used to think, like, I've got a bit of a bogan accent in ways, you know, and I used to try and change my accent to be someone else. It's like, fuck that. Like, just be me. And that was the biggest thing. It's crazy, because as soon as I started doing that, sales went through the roof. Mm. My lead costs went down massively when I was totally authentic. So that's like step number one. Step number two after that is have your own system. Stop regurgitating the same old shit. We're in a very, very saturated space, but it's saturated with shit. Okay. Like, we're in a fucking sewer. It's not that hard to stand out. You've got one daffodil, one daisy popping up, and the rest of it's poo. Just be the daisy. It's not hard. Be your own thing. But seriously, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
You see, in the agency game, most agencies suck.
Oh, like, dude.
Terrible. Really, really bad. And you look at the gyms. Most gyms suck. You look at online coaches. Most online coaches suck because they're all trying to do the same thing. And if we look at why they're all trying to do the same thing and not stand out, is because there's no passion and there's no authenticity there. There's no genuine love. The reason why I am successful and the reason why my team and why we've been able to have this success is because every single person in my organization loves what we do. Like, we love it, live it, and breathe it. Like, this is what we do for fun. Like, we go through and we talk outside of hours with each other how to do stuff better. I'm catching up with my whole team. I'm spending the weekend with my Queensland team this weekend and just hanging out with them because they're awesome human beings. And I love the shit out of them. Like, they're just really cool. If you have a team like that, or if you are like that and you genuinely love your product, you'll be infinitely better because you care. And when you care, the customer sees it. I mean, if we take a look at Apple and Amazon, right? I don't like either of them in terms of their ethics, the way that they act, and they screw over poor people, right? And developing nations. But in terms of their example of how to be amazing at customer service, they actually, like, Apple had their thing where they changed it to Apple Care, I think was their name. Because they wanted to emphasize Apple cares about their customer, and they do everything to make the customer experience better. Jeff Bezos was like, what do customers want? Faster delivery, lower prices, highest quality, total reliability every single time. And the reason they are successful is because they're relentlessly focusing on their customer. Now, when we come to gyms and coaching and agencies and whatnot, they just go through and like, how can I make as much money as fast as possible? It's like, cool, you'll make a quick buck, but you won't make a long buck. And I can tell you right now, I'm not going to get to $10 million, $20 million, $50 million, $100 million a year in revenue by going through and focusing on short-term wins. Like, no. I've got to go through and serve an enormous amount of people in order for them to invest in me. And every time someone pays us, they're investing in me and putting trust in me. And I got to take that really seriously. Otherwise, I will squander it and I will not get to where I want to be.
Yeah, dude, that is one of our internal values that we have for the team here is think long-term. Is always do what's best for the customer and think long term. And sometimes doing what's best for the customer or the client and thinking long term might not be what the customer wants to hear, but you know it's best for them in their best interest, but you have to educate them in, like, jumping in a fucking ice bath is not something that I want to do right now. But you got to fucking do it, because long term, the implications are, this is what could it unlock for you, right? But the short term is like, I'm going to be cold as shit. I don't want to do it, totally. You know? And I think that's really, really special that you said focus on the customer. We've been doing that a lot, especially with all these lockdowns and stuff that's been going on. It is like a lot of businesses could go, well, shit, we're in trouble. Like a bit, whoever's listening, your business, you might say we're in trouble. But then you'd be like, well, who else is in trouble? My clients are. Okay, what's best for them? And focusing on that, you can really unlock some pretty special stuff if you get your team all involved as well and actually go, like, forget us for a moment. What do they want? And that's the whole nature of business, in the whole reason your business should exist, is, from my perspective at least, is because it's for the customer. It's not for you. You know, that's like, you're providing a service or product or whatever. Sure, it provides, you know, fulfillment for you as an owner and everything else like that. But without the customer, you don't exist. So you better focus on them.
110%. And we forget that for some reason.
Yeah. Because it's easy to just think of, like, got to make more sales, got to make more sales, got to, like, you know, whatever. But that's only, as what you said, short-term stuff. And you won't grow a really decent life, like, you know, business that has legs.
Totally. And if you look at the people who've been around for years and will continue to, it's the people who look after their team. I mean, but it's so easy to buy customers at the moment. Like, how fucked up is it that we can, like, I can spend $300 and buy a customer, right? $300 to buy a customer with a lifetime value of close to 7,000, right? 7,000 or more, depending on the customer, right? Like, that is an insane concept. And because it's so cheap to acquire a customer, $300, $1,000, $5,000, whatever, that is so cheap to acquire a customer, right? So, so cheap. We can just fucking buy it. Even with crap ads, you can still buy a customer. Like, that's an insane concept, right? You don't even have to work. You just put money down. But the thing that we forget about is keeping that customer, right? Because if you want to be truly successful and you want to be really good at what you want to do, you want to keep those guys around. Number one, because the longer they stay around, you can do a better service for them. You can do a better job. Number two, you learn more. like from the guys who have actually been around with you for a long time and they're sticking with you, you learn so much more from them because you develop this way better relationship. And then after you tick off those two boxes, then you get the upsells, then you get the referrals. Like it is, well, I don't know what the statistic is, but isn't it like 70% easier or cheaper or whatever to upsell a client as opposed to acquire a new one?
Yeah.
Like it's stupid how much cheaper it is. And then referrals as well. Like that's just a no-brainer. And that's how I built my whole business because I sucked at sales and marketing. So I had to be really good at product. Otherwise I wouldn't survive.
Yeah. And look at it now, crushing, right? And then setting sights on the future. So that was your first two things was, you know, be you, be authentic, have your own system, which we dived into. Was there anything else that you would add to that?
Yeah. Who are you around, right? Who are you surrounding with? If you're going out and you're getting on the bags every single weekend, you're probably going to have a tougher time. Not saying that you can't do it because there are many, many successful cocaine addicts, many. But at the same time, that number, the proportion dwindles, right? You're looking at outliers there. If you can really choose your surroundings and surround yourself with people who are totally growth focused, like in terms of the guys who I talk with every single day, they've all got net worths in the millions, right? Every single person does who I talk with regularly. I do have friends who are also outside of that who have amazing qualities in other areas which aren't financial and are really brilliant in other areas, but choose who you're going to be around. And in terms of partners, like, fuck, this is the biggest one. One of my guys is going through a divorce at the moment, right? And you know, she's got 50% and she's got more of the kids than what he does. And it's a tough time. And this is a good dad and a really, really good dude. Not perfect by any means, but he's a good human being. It's like, fuck, like if you're going to marry someone and you're going to be with someone, choose them right. Mm-hmm. Right. And that is the biggest thing. Like, so if my beautiful fiance has put up with so much of my shit, right? So much of my shit over the years. And without her, I would not be able to do what I do at the moment. She makes sure that I eat because otherwise I'll forget to eat. She makes sure that I get to bed on time, that I don't go doing dumb stuff, that I don't get distracted watching YouTube, like those sorts of things. And having that sort of accountability in a partner is like the most important thing. It's not about what business you go into. You can go online, you can do bricks and mortar, you can sell with Facebook ads, you can sell with fucking flyers, you can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter, low ticket, high ticket, that doesn't matter. You can make money with all of them. But your real true likelihood of success depends on who you're around and who is there supporting you. In particular, in my opinion, your significant other. So if you have one who supports you like Soph does to me, fucking marry her, right? Or marry him. If you have one who isn't supportive of you and isn't in alignment with you at all, it's probably better to just rip the Band-Aid off, leave it, and then go on to the next person after that for someone who will support.
That is a very hard topic to, if you know you're in that situation where you're like, oh shit, maybe I'm not with the right person, but I'll park that for a second. I have to agree. Having a wife or husband, obviously I can speak for having a wife because I have one, is the single greatest asset you can have as a business owner, because business is messy. Business is crazy. And usually people that are entrepreneurial and want to start businesses are usually creative types and have a lot of stuff on the go. If your personal life is insane and crazy as well, you will not last long in business. So you need to have that counterbalance of your personal life. You need to have a pretty chill personal life and really stable, rock solid. And for me, having kids and having a wife is the best thing ever, because business is fucking crazy as always, but I love it. But also they're my grounding, so to speak. They bring me back down. And my wife is always the voice of reason. I always say this, she's got the best head for business that I've ever met, because she is just so common sense. That's not so common that I will say something to her and she'd be like, what are you talking about? It's this. And I'm like, oh, so glad that you're here. And then there's so many decisions that most people in gym owners are like a husband wife combo, or they have a partner or whatever. So you guys know what I'm talking about. You have that sounding board, and there's been so many occasions that I'm just like, so, like every day I'm grateful for it, because I always say this, I was the guy doing the booze, doing the party and doing the bags, doing the this. I was that guy. And if it wasn't for her, I was like, I'd have probably be dead in a gutter by now. No shit. Having the right partner can completely change the direction of your life for the good.
Completely. And having the wrong one can do the exact opposite too.
Yes. Yes. And that's not talked about as much as business is what I think it should be.
I don't know why. I think it's because it's a difficult thing. Like, I remember I put up a post about saying that more people should get divorced. And I totally fucking believe that, right? We need to learn how to communicate better, or more people should get divorced. One of the two, right? Mm. And so many people got really, really upset at me over that, right? They're like, oh, wait till it's yours and Sov's turn. And I was like, well, fuck, that's a pretty morbid thing to hope that we are personally going to get divorced. But anyway, I guess you've probably got a couple issues of your own, brah. But then going through and actually looking at the response to that and how people were so personally offended by it, I think it's just a really sensitive topic. And once again, because we're so not used to that, and because most people are coddled into saying everything's going to be okay, it's going to be fine, we have a culture of people pleasing in the society. When someone comes out and says something tough about that, is like, no, no, you need to get a better fucking partner. If she or he does not support you, or whatever you identify as doesn't support you, then get fucking rid of them, right? Because it's not on your mission. You know, it's just a difficult topic, and it's uncomfortable, and it's not nice. It's not pleasant. I wish everybody could get along and be successful and have all the monies in the world. But unfortunately, reality just sometimes has to kick in. You know what I mean?
Yes. I would also say this, though, because there's some people that I have spoke to in the past where they're in the situation and they're like, hey, look, my partner doesn't support me in this. And I'm like, well, have you proven to him or her that you can actually do this shit?
Brilliant point.
Because you can't just be there, oh, support me, meh, meh, and you're just being a little bitch and you're not actually showing any results. Because if you can't prove, at least to some degree, that you're going to follow through and do what you said you're going to do, why should they support you? Because maybe they are the right person for you because they're telling you as it is. And it's hard to take that distinction initially when you're going, because business is a personal growth experience. It's a personal development experience. It's the best thing you could ever do, I think. Well, at least for me, it's
totally
been.
Agree.
And, I was that guy. I was like, support me. She's like, well, you haven't shown me anything. And I was like, I was so mad about that. But it was because I got so mad because it was true.
But that's the thing. That's not her going and just agreeing with you is not supporting. That's placating.
No, that's exactly right.
Totally different. Supporting is sometimes slapping you in the face and saying, wake the fuck up. It's like, what are you doing? And support is sometimes doing the hard thing. It's actually more often doing the hard thing and having the conversation and doing it in a respectful manner. Like, that is true support. And that is what we all need in a partner, both ways. Yeah.
And that is so, as you said, that is so rare to find. And I was lucky I just stumbled upon this amazing woman. And, but a lot of people are like what I call rug sweepers. They just sweep it under the rug, push it to the side. And, they just don't ever want to, they're avoiders. They just totally avoid.
We call them nice guys. They're nice. They're like a biscuit, right? A biscuit's nice. They taste good. They feel good in the moment, but then you end up with diabetes if you eat too many, right? So it's a nice. They're nice, right? They're on the surface nice and agreeable and whatnot, but underneath they harbor a resentment, right? There's a brilliant book by Robert Glover called No More Mr. Nice Guy that we make a lot of guys read. Super worth it for every single, I believe that every man, woman, and child should read this book, because it's really about how to have confrontation in a respectful manner, to set your boundaries, to be true and authentic to yourself, and how to really just be a higher level human being who actually serves instead of looks to take.
Robert Glover, No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Great book.
Man, I'm Amazon hitting that up straight after this. It sounds awesome. So we've touched on authentic, have your own system, who are you around? Is there anything else that you would add to that?
Don't be a prick.
Solid. Don't be a prick.
Man, you look at, so many people are out there to try and, you know how beef marketing works, right? People on Facebook take pot shots at each other and talk other people down, and like they'll go name calling and backwards and forwards to drum up engagement and all that sort of stuff. There's a great Frank Kern quote. Frank Kern's a brilliant marketer.
Oh, I was just talking about him on my last podcast. I'm a fucking massive fan.
Dude's a genius. The grandfather
with
of
the capital J. Right?
Yeah, he's a great guy. In terms of like the content that he puts out, I remember one of the things that I learned from him was that when you go through and you start shit talking people, right, and you build up your followers like that, they all have pitchforks and torches, right? You can imagine the Simpsons episode where they're all coming after Homer with pitchforks and torches coming to go get him, right? Those people, funnily enough, don't make the best customers, right? People who are going out and they're trying to hunt and kill and they want the sense of blood. They're like sharks in a frenzy going after stuff. They're not going to be your best buyers in general. Mm. So if you just don't be a prick, if you be a prick, you'll attract pricks. And then when you attract pricks, you have to deal with those pricks. And generally when two pricks get into a relationship, it's not always the best thing. But if you can be a really awesome human being, be true and genuine to yourself and to display that in an exemplary manner and to just be true and honest and authentic, you'll always do better. And that's coming from someone who's been a prick with a capital P, right? I've been a prick. I've been an asshole before. I've done all that sort of stuff. And my business is so much better off now than what it was then for just getting rid of that whole side of myself.
Man, I love that. And I think that's a pretty good place to leave it, because I know we could talk for hours and hours on this sort of stuff.
But thanks for having me on, man. It's been really cool.
It's been fun. And if people, obviously, let's do the typical where can people find you spiel. So if people want to find you, say, for JCF coaching, what's the best thing to find you with that?
Type in James Cairns on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google, whatever. Our marketing is pretty decent, so it'll pick you up. And in terms of the name, it's the C word, but with an A instead of a U, right? The easiest way to remember it. So James Cairns.
And I know we've talked about business stuff, and I think we were talking about it maybe before we hit record, but do you do anything like for business side of things, not just like the JCF coaching? Are you going to be doing something with that in the future?
Yeah, we do. So I mentor a lot of business owners in multiple areas, and it's because obviously we've had a little bit of success in business. And so we do mentor in a lot of those areas. We will be launching more online specific stuff. But in the moment, if anyone does want a hand or even just a pointer, like I've got enough money now where I don't need to pitch everyone that messages me. It's quite nice. So if you need anything at all, just shoot me a message, because I'm happy to point you in the right direction, be it in marketing, sales, product delivery, like whatever it is you need. I have thousands of bits of like old lead magnets and things like that that I can give you, which might be of benefit.
Oh, mate, that's awesome. I did not expect that at all. That's so cool. Guys, I would fucking hit him up. Hit him up for sure. And he is a man of his word, though. Every time me and James have a communication on Facebook, there's always some sort of nuggets that I get there. So, dude, thanks for coming on the show. This has been awesome. And you're a new Queensland resident as well.
Hell yeah. Love it up here, man. It's God's country.
Yeah. Living off the land. He's got, if you guys are listening to these, he's got bananas hanging in the background there.
Yeah, awesome. These puppies, they're just about ripe. They're in perfect reaching distance, so I can just grab them whenever I want.
It's just like King Kong, mate. Just fucking lean it back, grabbing a banana.
I am a monkey. Yes. That's right.
Crushing sails and bananas at the same time. I love it, man. That's awesome. And guys, that's all we have for today. And so you guys, just to go again, James Cairns on Facebook is the best place to get you.
Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can find all my stuff there between those Perfect. Three. If you want to reach out and have a chat, Facebook's the best.
Perfect. And guys, my stuff as well. I'm going to slide my one in there. Come on, what kind of marketer would I be if I didn't talk about my shit? So gym owners that want their ads done for them, go to iwantgymleads.com, and then you can go and see all our stuff over there. And, you know, there's testimonials and all that sort of stuff. And if you like what you see, book a time in, and then we can have a chat about how we can sort out your advertising for you. James, thanks for coming on, mate. You're a bloody legend. Everybody else, I'll see you soon.
Thanks for your time, guys.